Will you just join me in prayer this morning as the worship team transitions? You know, Father, I know that probably for some of us that we believe a lie, that we can't really come before you and be honest. And God, that's just a lie from evil. You made us. You know us intimately. And Father, although I probably have a few less hairs on my head today than I did just last week, you still know those numbers. And Lord, I think that's just an indication of how intimately you desire to know us on a spiritual level. It's not about the hairs on our head. It's not about the places we go, the places we work, the people we hang out with, until it begins with a relationship with you. That changes everything. These next few moments, these next few minutes together, may we honor you, may we bless you, may we praise you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Kids, you're going to stand here today with us, so sit tight. I think it's very understandable, everything we're going to talk about today. We're going to do a lot of celebrating today. We got a lot to celebrate. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion together. We're going to celebrate some baptisms together. It's just an awesome day to be together. It's an awesome day to be together. About 2 weeks ago, Kathy and I were coming around Truman Parkway. At this particular moment in this story, I really don't know where we'd been, but I just know we were in two cars. And we're coming around Truman Parkway, and when I'm in a vehicle by myself and a song comes on that I really like, it's dangerous. Okay, it's real dangerous. The faster they get those self-driving cars going, the better I can dance by myself. And I was behind Kathy, and she called me, and she said, "Hey, do you want me for something? What are those motions you're making in the car?" I said, "I don't want anything. There's a song on I like a lot, and I'm just kind of in the mood to dance a little bit as I go along, singing so no one can make fun of me." And the best thing about it is, you know, when you get to a stoplight, you get to take your hands off the wheel. And then it's full body. Okay? But I have enough wherewithal, enough something, to realize that when I get to the stoplight, there's other people pulling up next to me that might see me. So that means I have to kind of go with hands on the steering wheel a little bit and from the waist down with movement. Okay? And it's just one of those things where it brings life. Enjoying it. Are you enjoying your relationship with God today? Are you enjoying the fact that He loves you and He cares about you? All the things that you know to be truthful, are you enjoying those things? In just a moment, we're going to come and we're going to celebrate communion, as I just said. And then after that, we've got a couple individuals that are going to be baptized right behind us. We're not taking a road trip to the beach today. We're going to do that later in the summer. We'll probably do that. We'll wait for Shark Week for that one, okay? One of these days, God's going to have a sense of humor, and that's going to come back, no pun intended, to bite me. So as we get ready to look at the Scripture, today's an important day because it's the only day you have under your control. I read a while back, and I think this was an interesting assessment of something, the two thieves that hung on the cross with Jesus represented yesterday and tomorrow. And they had a choice that day. We all have our tomorrows. And while tomorrow, or yesterday's, but and while tomorrow is not guaranteed, let's realize something. Whether or not we make it to tomorrow or not, today's still going to impact it. How you live, what you say, where you go, we're still going to impact tomorrow, even if Jesus calls us home in the next moment. It's our choice. It's our privilege. So let's go ahead and put the Scriptures up. We've been talking about revival. And I believe there's no more essential way to look at our lives as we need revival than to come before God with our honest burdens and our struggles and our hearts with Him as we celebrate communion. As He sat around that table, that last supper with those 12 individuals that His Father had told Him to pick out of the world. And they were celebrating the Passover, but that night something was different. It was going to be the last time together until eternity. Until eternity. And so this morning as we read the Scriptures, we're going to look at where Paul brings up Jesus' last few moments with his disciples in 1 Corinthians 11, 23-27. And this is what Paul is saying. And this is Paul speaking. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you," to the church at Corinth. "The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took some bread. We'll take some bread in just a moment. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after his supper, he took a cup, the third cup probably, the third out of fourth, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." Don't overlook those two words, new covenant, today. "In my blood, do this, celebrate, whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup." So this morning, I know most of you have partaken with us many times and in other places as we enjoy the Lord's Supper. There's some things that going on the overhead that we're just going to kind of run through. I'm not going to take time to explain them to you. But it boils down to the essence of that scripture that Paul shares with the church of Corinth. Where are you this morning in your heart? Where are you in your mind? As we think about those scriptures and what took place, here are some things that just come to mind that I was thinking about and praying through this week. And I'd encourage you to think about this. What took place that night? What takes place in just a few moments? What took place in the church at Corinth? Well, they were doing some things. They were thinking about some things. And one of them would have been remembering his death. He really did die. He really did have all of our sins heaped upon him. All the guilt, all the shame. He doesn't desire that you live under guilt or shame. He doesn't desire that you bow to the next lie that you struggle with. That death conquered those things. And we celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate life. And when I read those words today, I really do picture me driving down Truman Parkway, listening to a very upbeat song. It wasn't a worship song. If you see me doing this and doing this, you know I'm listening to worship music. Because when I'm doing this and I'm doing this, that means I'm listening to worship music because I'm praising him and I'm wiping away the weeping. Okay? But we're celebrating his resurrection. You may not feel alive this morning, but he is alive. And he desires that you take upon that presence in your life so you can feel alive on the inside. That Holy Spirit that's in you, if you're a follower of Christ, it's a living spirit. And he's ready to breathe on us some freshness today. And acknowledging the covenant, I just read to you a few moments ago, when he took the bread and the wine, he said, "This is a new covenant. We're entering a new relationship. The old is gone, the new is coming." What does that mean? The old way of living, the old way of thinking, the old way of acting, the attitudes. This is a new covenant that changes everything. It's a covenant. It's not a commitment. It's not a contract. It's a covenant that says, "What I'm getting ready to do, I would lay down my life for you anytime, any place, anywhere." But here's the tough part about that covenant that I think sometimes we leave off. You ready? A covenant says, "You have entered into the same agreement with me that you'll do the same thing for me." So he's saying through this covenant, are you acknowledging that, yeah, you may have to pay the ultimate price? I read a story just this week about a missionary named A.W. Milne, spelled M-I-L-N-E. He was part of the five missionaries in England, the 1800s. They got together and they decided that God had called them to around the world. They literally took all their earthly belongings, they put them in caskets. They left on their trips with nothing but with the clothes they had on. He was called to some islands to minister to cannibals. But there had already been some people kind of ministering to them, trying to get the gospel. And he shows up. He spent 35 years on this island with them. When he died, this is what they wrote on his grave marker. When A.W. Milne arrived, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. That is part of the new covenant. When Jesus arrived, there was no light. But when he left, there was no darkness. You don't have to live under darkness today. Is your mind feeling full of darkness? Are you struggling with that today? And then we come to examination time. There'll be some more things I'm going to throw out to you in just a moment. Confessing of our sins. Hands out. Hearts open. Minds that says, "God, clean house today." Let's get down. We've been talking about revival in the last couple of weeks. We just got to continue. We got to build upon the stone. We got to build upon Jesus the Christ. What is he continuing to do in your life? Are you willing to come with an honesty, an openness, a bareness that says, "I know. How did this get in? Where did this really start?" And prioritizing Jesus in our lives. Prioritizing Jesus in our lives. Someone asked me a question this week that really cuts to the chase for me about that last those last two, and it says this: if someone found out about something in your life that you didn't want them to know, how would it impact how Jesus was seen in your life? So in other words, if you were found out about something that you tried to cover up that God wouldn't be pleased with, and the rest of us knew, how would that show that Jesus is in your life? How would that show where Jesus is in your life? Are you really putting Him, Jesus, as Lord of your life? Just a few moments when Dusty does the baptism, he's probably going to ask some form of that question. Is Jesus Lord of your life? And they're going to be asked to repeat it out loud. You know, I don't think that's a bad thing. Maybe that's the way that we should start today, huh? How about tomorrow morning and say, Jesus, I know it's going to be a real battle, but You're Lord of my life, and I'm going to give You all that I've got because You're worth it. My best is never going to be good enough, but my offering of myself to You with Your best is going to take care of the day. Jesus, You're Lord of my life. And the last one is looking for Him to return. Part of what we're doing is we're celebrating His death, resurrection, taking up all our sins and everything, but we're also looking forward to the next coming. It doesn't matter if you're going to be alive or not. You're still proclaiming it so the rest of us can see it, acknowledge it, and so the world can say, you're looking forward to something that's coming. He's coming back. He's really coming back. And we're looking for Him to return. Jesus says to His disciples, when you do this, it's different than it's ever been. We're not living in history. We're living in the moment looking forward to a historical event. But we get to join in that. We should consider that a privilege to look forward to something. So communion is revival. Just a moment, I am going to open the altar and we're going to have an examination time wherever you are. Pastors and their wives will be up here for ministry time. But here's a few words I got for you today as I was praying about the message. We're going to leave those up there for a while. Gary's going to come up and play a little music for us. But I encourage you to think about these things. You ready? One, where's the struggle in your life? How have you been struggling? Where do you need God to take over the struggle? And the last thing is I give you these three words. Truth, love, connection. Jesus offered those guys, as He offers us, truth, because He is truth. And He offered it out of love because He is love. And He offered those two things so they could have a connection that they had never had before through Jesus with the Father, with one another. You know, we often kind of think about these things as like, boy, I bet you they saw Jesus different after this. That's true. But I'd be willing to tell you this, they saw each other different too. I'd be willing to say they saw everything different. I'd be willing to tell you that when they saw and felt the truth and love of Christ, they felt connected in a way they'd never been. Why do I say that? Because where'd they go after? They went to the upper room. Where did they stay? They prayed as one. What did they do after the day of Pentecost? Man, they changed the world, not as individuals, but as one. One body, one mind, one heart, one spirit. There was a connection. So I ask you something as I get ready to pray for us. Where is the struggle? Be honest this morning. Where is the struggle? As you get offered the bread and the grape juice, where do you need revival in your life? Where do you need revival in your mind? Where do you need revival in your heart? Where do you need to come alive? Where do you need God to put on your favorite song and do a little dancing to it? Which, by the way, if you haven't been to a Bananas game, seen Adrian Thompson at the beginning of the game dance, you've missed a blessing. Yeah. It's a blessing. You know why? Because the other day I was looking at him, and this is important. I'm going to use you as an example, Adrian. Okay? He didn't look around and worry about who was watching. He was all in. Weren't you, Adrian? You were. This covenant, we do not have the choice to hold something back to a later day. This is, I'm all in Jesus. I'm all in. No strings attached. I may not understand everything, but I'm all in. No time to play. So I'm going to pray for us. Altar will be open. Pastors and wives will be here. You can come pray with one of us. You can begin to fill out your cards. We're going to take those at the end, so we're not collecting cards just yet. But you can begin to fill those out. What's God stirring? What's God stirring? What do you need to leave at the altar? And how do you need to pick Him up So let's just begin to pray. Guys, come on up and get ready to do some ministry time as I just pray for us. Father, these things that we have on a list, hey, God, I think you spoke to me about those and some of the others. But God, I am limited by my humanness, although I desire to expand to all the godliness that you desire for me. Lord, as you begin to speak and move and stir, what's on your heart today, Father? These next few moments, I'd encourage us to examine ourselves up against the holiness of God and up against the powerfulness, love, the never-ending love and grace and mercy that He is offering us today. How is He desiring to revive us? These next few moments, just take some time to examine, take some time to come to the altar, pray with somebody. I just read to you a familiar scripture about on that night with his closest friend. They laughed together, talked guy stuff together, but he offered them something. He offered himself a new covenant. This, my body, it's broken so you could be healed. So the disappointments of the past would not control you. But tomorrow's a new day, a new hope, a new love, a new experience. This body broken for you. In just a moment, we'll have some people come and they'll stand on the sides and you'll be able to partake of this. And they will hand you a piece of bread and they'll say, this is the body of Christ broken for you. And then you get to receive it. I caution you, I challenge you, do not allow this just to be a numb act. So much more. And then later on, sometime, the meal would have lasted for hours, took a cup. He said, this is my blood shed for you. Ours is grape juice. You will be handed that piece of bread and then you can dip it in here and they'll say, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Shed for what? Truth, love, connection. Victorious today. If you're living defeated, you're living a lie. You're living a lie. This changes everything. And sometimes we lose sight of that, don't we? Life happens, and it happens fast. Revival, newness, the blood of Christ shed for you.
So we've shared one ordinance, we've seen a miracle. You all don't know how hard it is for that thing to go. Well, maybe you do, you just saw. Second ordinance we're going to share today. As I thought about this, you know, many of you have had this experience when either you or someone you love has a newborn baby. And you go to the hospital and you go look in that window. That window that shows you all those beautiful, brand new babies, where you're looking to see where the names are on the end of the crib until you finally find the one that's either got your name on it or the name of the person that you love very dearly. And then you begin to look. You begin to see, how do they look like you, or how do they look like the person that you love? Whether it makes sense or not, whether it's true or not, whenever we get to share baptism, it's a little bit like that. New life. Start from scratch. Recreated by the power of the Holy Spirit. New life has come. Okay? Old has passed away. No matter how old or how young the person who's come to faith in Christ is. So whenever we share this ordinance of baptism, why do we do it? Well, we do it for a couple of reasons. One, Jesus modeled it. Jesus actually was baptized himself in the River Jordan. Went to his cousin and his cousin said, here, it's the Lamb of God. And he submitted to the very thing that he tells us we should do. And then this second thing is, yes, he said that baptism is a part of what we need to do to identify with him. He told us as his ambassadors that we were to go into all the world. And as we were going, we're to make disciples and do a couple of things. We were to preach, teach, and baptize. And today, that's what we're doing. There's a lot of things that this ordinance shows us. One thing that I want to make sure we caution against is there's nothing magic about what happens when someone's baptized. Baptism is simply a reflection of what God is doing in the person's life already. He's begun a work in them, this new creation. Going into that water and going underneath that water and coming back up is nothing magical. Nothing happens. It doesn't bestow grace on the person. God's already done that. He's already begun that. And what this is merely a picture of this person saying, in obedience, I am identifying with the death as they go under the water and the burial of Jesus. And then His resurrection as they come back out of the water. It's a great picture. It shows us the message over and over again. It's a proclamation of what God has done in our lives. So as Dusty, in just a minute, greets those that we are going to be sharing and watching this wonderful thing take place, he's going to have a question for them. Dana shared that question. You've heard it before because you've seen this before if you've been with us. And that is, it's all about Jesus being Lord, and it's all about what He's doing in our lives. And as we share this together, it is something to celebrate, just like that newborn child. So let's not sit back. Let's not just be spectators. Let's be family and be excited for what God has done. So bow with me. We'll pray a short prayer, and then Dusty will be in place. Father God, thank You for new things. Thank You for new life. Thank You for what You do by the power of Your Spirit, the way You move us, the way that You have called out to us in our lives through people and circumstances and by the speaking of Your Spirit to our spirits. And that, Lord, we would come to You and that, Lord, You would do a new thing. Lord, we celebrate what You have done and we thank You. And we are excited, Lord, because we want to see You do it again and again and again. Let us be the family that desires for that to happen. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're so glad you joined us here for this time of baptism. And let me tell you, water is refreshing. We will be refreshed when we come out of these waters today. We have three candidates for baptism today. And the first is Amanda Morales. You've been seeing this beautiful young lady around, and she has come presenting herself today as candidate for baptism, publicly professing her faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Amanda, if indeed Jesus is in your life, you received Him as your Savior, would you say out loud, Jesus is Lord of my life?
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Amen. So, Amanda, my young sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism. And I raise you up in the name of God. Our next candidate is young Lawton Griffin. Do you see your grandparents, aren't they? You see them? Okay, I'm going to make sure. If you can see them, they can see you. All right. Isn't this a handsome young man?
Yeah.
He loves Jesus, and he loves Brother Dustin. So, everything's right today. Lawton has received Jesus into his life, prayed and asked Jesus to come into his life. And so, Lawton, today, if Jesus really has come into your life, would you say out loud to the Lord and to everybody here, Jesus is Lord of my life? Say it out loud.
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Amen. Amen. So Lawton, my young brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. The young ones usually like to swim out. Now we've got one more. Y'all know Brother Jim Gilliam. Jim went back and forth over the years with assurance of his salvation. Audrey and I have similar experiences. But the Lord got a hold of him and got a hold of his life. And he has that assurance of his salvation today, don't you, Jim?
Yes, I do.
All right. So he wanted to be baptized because baptism has its meaning attached to that experience of receiving Jesus in your life. Baptism doesn't save it. So he wanted his baptism to mean something. And so he asked us to baptize him today. So, Jim, if Jesus is in your heart, in your life, you received him as your Savior, when you say out loud to the Lord and to everybody, Jesus is Lord of my life.
Jesus is Lord of my life. Savior.
Yes. Amen. Hey, Jim Gilliam, my brother in Jesus, I baptize you today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. And raised to walk the dream of God. I just want you to know, Brother Bob got to see that, Jim. Lord bless you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these three. Thank you for all that they mean in our lives and the different places in life that each of these three are at. I ask you, God, as they grow in their faith, protect them. Guard their hearts from the enemy. Lord, may he not be able to come and steal any of the joy of this day and the joy of knowing Jesus. Lord, bless them. Bless their families today. May they feel that joy and happiness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If you're in agreement with us, say amen.
Amen.
Now, Gary and Harold are going to play for about a minute. And we have cards. If you've got something written on your card, we would like for you to put your card either in the basket back there or the baskets up here that are on either. Well, we got one basket here, right here on the step. We're going to give you about a minute for offerings and cards, and then we'll be dismissed. About a week ago, Regina and I were in Mississippi, and Regina was there because she really wanted to talk to a person that she hadn't seen in a long time. And as we were talking with this person who's been in China as a missionary, we were sharing a lot about you and who you are and how you've ministered to us and our family through time. And she said, it's so nice to hear that there really is a church like that. There are people who need to know that there really is a church like this. That there really are people who care and want to be a part of your life and help you and grow you and love you and accept you. People need to know that. So as we go out, let's remember there are people. There are literally people who, if they knew about who you were, would move here to be a part of who you were. There are people who are hungry for the Lord that we have and the way that we share it in our family. We can't forget that. Let's remember it. So let me pray real quick. We'll go. Father, go before us. Thank you for giving us family. Lord, be with us as we are your hands and feet. Lord, as we not only live our lives and that we are the message that you have sent to the world, Lord, let us share the message when we have opportunity that Jesus is the Lord of our lives and he can be their Lord too because you love them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.